quite a blessing to have a grandchild, as those of you that are grandparents that know. But just the realization that your family is being expanded. So we have one more member of the family now. So I try to remember to include the name Tatum. We're so blessed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each one here. Father, I do pray that you will carry your word to each of our hearts, that our hearts are prepared to hear the things that you want us to receive. And I pray, Father, that your presence will be powerfully known to us in this service, in this message, through this message. And I pray, Father, that we will have an awareness of being included in your kingdom work that has not been made aware to us before. That our focus and our connection to you and your purposes will be evident and plain in our own spirit, and that you'll be glorified. Bless the preaching. Touch my tongue. Let everything that's said, Father, come from you, not from me. And may Christ be seen and magnified, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Keep thinking about the Jewish culture or custom. When kids are about 5 or 6 years old, they take them into the synagogue and they meet with the rabbi. And the rabbi gives them their own first Tanakh, the Jewish Bible. He gives it to them, and he goes and he puts a dollop of honey on each cover. Just goes to each child and puts a dollop of honey on each cover of each Bible. He encourages them not to open their Bibles or anything. And then when he says, tells them, okay, now eat the honey. And they lick the honey off the cover of their Bible. Kind of a weird tradition. But it's to resemble the desire that the Word of God is sweet. The Word of God is to be eaten. It's to be ingested. It's to be taken in with pleasure. And to remember that. And so I like that analogy. And I pray that this morning that as we hear God's Word, that there will be that sense that we have a sweetness about the Word of God that is pleasant to our souls, that we take in and we receive, and that God will work what He wants to work in each of our lives. Philippians 4:11-13 says, I don't say this out of need, and this is Paul writing, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to have a little, and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I am able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. That verse right there, often people have misused that verse by teaching them that, you know, I can do anything I want to through the power of God. That's a twisted truth. I can do not everything I want to, like swim across the waterway from Key West to Cuba, or to climb a certain mountain, or to run across the country barefoot. Those type of things aren't the things that are being referred to here that we claim this verse for application. The reason why this verse is important is that whatever God calls you or I to do in Him for His kingdom, He empowers us to do it. And He meets every need that we have to accomplish His work. I've learned, and I'm sure you have too, that sometimes the needs that He knows that we have don't meet the needs that we thought we had. Does that make sense? Oftentimes we think, these are, I can write my needs, Lord, but the Lord only meets certain ones of them, and they're sufficient. And they don't always meet the needs that I would expect or hope for. But God always gives us what we need. And so the promise is that God will supply whatever needs necessary to fill His call on our lives. I have a question. Do you know God's call on your life? Because as a believer, we're all called. Bottom line, we're all called to be representatives of Christ. Bottom line, we're called to walk in fellowship with Christ. Bottom line, we're called to share the truth of the gospel. But God has called all of us to be, what the Bible says, ministers of reconciliation. That we intervene on the behalf of people and we share the love of Christ with others, if anything. And whatever circumstances we're in, whatever environment we're in, whatever is unique to our own lives, God wants us to be that beacon of light in that in that environment for him. Bottom line, that's one way we're called. Unfortunately, oftentimes we think, well, calling is for those that are called in the full-time ministry. It's certainly then, but it's also in all of our lives. We're called to represent Christ. Lottie Moon, you know, during Christmas time, we take the Lottie Moon offering. And Lottie Moon was a missionary in China. She forfeited being with her family. She forfeited the comforts that she had in America. She forfeited a lot of things. And she went over very young. And she had wrote a couple of things, and there are some quotes from her. She writes, please say to the new missionaries, they are coming to a life of hardship, responsibility, and a constant self-denial. I wonder how willing you are and I am to yield to the hardships that are part of the requirements for the call that God has on our unique life and circumstance in our life. If we're willing to endure or take on the responsibility that God entrusts to us. And if we're willing to deny the things that we think that we have a right to. I mean, that's dying to self and living for Christ. She also wrote, why should we not, instead of the paltry offerings, that means poor offerings we make, do something that will prove that we are really in earnest in claiming to be followers of him who, though he was rich, for our sake became poor. Are you and I willing to follow the example of Christ? Christ stepped off of his throne, if you will. All of his glory, all of his majesty, all the wonder and praise of heaven and who he is. He forsook that for the sake of us. He became impoverished for our sake, right? Born in a manger, and it probably wasn't cleaned out before Mary and Joseph got in there. Stunk, whatever the case, dirt poor, and yet he's God. And he forsook all. So that's what Lottie Moon is sharing with us, is that that's an example that we're to follow, that if God was to call us to poverty, if God was to call us to take on the hardships, if God was to call us to forsake all that we are and have for him, would we? Because Christ did. And if anything, we all should be willing to forsake all that we have and all that we are for Christ, because we've been bought with a price. We belong to him. And when we can resolve in our own heart and mind that our life is not our own, then we're on the right step forward. It's not about building our life around us. It's about building our life on Christ, the solid rock. You know, S.G. Posey, who at one time was involved in the founding days of our church, and S.G. Posey is part of the CMO. They changed S.G. Posey offerings to California mission offerings. But he wrote this. He said, S.G. Posey, okay, Executive Secretary of the California Southern Baptist Convention from 1951 to 1960, who had a great love for missions and who helped to start our very own church, said this, if I am to accomplish that for which you placed me here, and that which we all believe our blessed Savior desires to see accomplished in charming, cultured, Christless California, you must help me out there where you are with the best you have for the sake of the Lord Jesus and his glory in California. S.G. Posey. What's he saying? He's saying, look, you know, we're in this together to reach people for Christ. And we're even though we have the head knowledge of this and we feel intimidated and we don't have the skills, we all are equipped to share what our relationship with Jesus means to us with someone else. We can all open our mouth and say, this is what I know to be true in my relationship with Christ. That's not hard to share. It's not a technique. It's not a formula. It's not a training session. It's who we are in our relationship with Christ. So I want to look at a few things here. It says, the first point I want to make is that together we can supply the needs of those who are sacrificially serving. You know, foreign missionaries like Lottie Moon in China, the missionaries that we've had come into our church, They depend on the offerings that we give. We have the best system known for missionaries. They get all their needs met. They get their medical, they get their housing, they get their retirement, they get everything that they need. They do not have to stop and go on furlough to talk to churches about giving support to them and raising their money so they can live off of it. They know that their needs are met so they can be focused specifically on God's kingdom work without dealing with those issues. That's a wonderful privilege that Southern Baptist missionaries have. Home missionaries are also supported, as you and I know, through even our Spanish ministry when it was going, and other ministries. So, Ephesians 3:20 through 21 says, "Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." Amen. One of the things that is so thrilling is seeing the power of God provide beyond our ability. For God to accomplish what he wants to accomplish beyond our capabilities. And that God reveals himself that way. "Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think." Whatever we think, whatever we desire, that we can put forth before the throne of God, God has a bigger plan. And can do bigger things. When the prophet Jeremiah, and I'm not going to quote this exactly right, but it says, you know, "I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you." That's part of that verse of Jeremiah 29:11. That what plans God has for us is beyond our comprehension. And I know that I can testify to that. Without being redundant, not being a public speaker, not being confident, not being whatever, God still put me in a position to serve in this capacity by his grace. But God will work in our lives in ways that we never expected. And we can praise him for that. He will give us immeasurably more than we ask. Relying on him for his kingdom work. I don't know about you, but I hope that excites you to think, you know what? My life can be so focused on what God, my relationship with God and what God wants to do with me, that he will empower me to do whatever he's called me to do, and what he's called me to do will knock my socks off, because it'll bring us far beyond what we thought or expected or even asked. And it reveals his power in your life and my life, and it glorifies him. In 3 John 1:1-8, it says, the elder, "To my dear friend Gaius, I love you in this church." Of course, this is John writing. "Dear friend, I pray that you may prosper in every way and be in good health physically, just as you are spiritually. For I was very glad when some brothers came and testified to your faithfulness to the truth, how you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are showing faithfulness by whatever you do for the brothers, especially when they are strangers. They have testified to your love in front of the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, since they set out for the sake of the name," capital N, Jesus, "accepting nothing from pagans. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we can be co-workers with the truth." Send in a manner that honors God. There's a time when we were talking about different things that we could do for fundraising for our trip to Guatemala. And there were some things that the brakes were put on, too. Some creative ideas that said, no, we're not going to rely on the community to meet the need as a church representative. And I had to scratch my head on that. I go, why not, you know? I kind of think it comes from this verse. We talked about having a drive-through, go around the back of the church, they call in, get their meal, buy a meal, pay so much, get their meal, drive on through, raise some money. And I know that the planning team for the mission trip said, nah, we don't need to be doing that. We need to trust God to provide his way through his people for his glory. And that really is the biblical principle. And so, verse 8, therefore we ought to support such men so that we can be co-workers with the truth. Sin in a manner that honors God. Secondly, together we can send the people who are willing to serve. If we're willing to serve God in our church, that's what God expects us to do. If we're willing to be a representative of Christ in our community, in our own world, if you will, that's what God expects us to do. But if God lays on your heart to be a missionary, your heart to go into ministry, then or a special task, then the church should be recognizing that, united in that, praying for that and that, supporting that, and encouraging. When we went to Guatemala, we all stood up there when the church faced that way. And we have pictures of our director of missions laying hands on each person, and I followed behind him and laid hands on each person. We prayed for each other. It was a special moment in our church history that we saw God in our presence working, commissioning each one. And there was something unique about the laying on of hands on individuals in the church saying, we are recognizing that God has opened this door. God is doing this. God wants this. We are supporting you in prayer and in finances. And we encourage you to go, and we'll be bathing you in prayer. And boy, did our church bathe us in prayer, because we felt like we were in a bubble of protection as we traveled in very strange traveling conditions across the country. Together we can send the people who are willing to serve. Philippians 4, 15 through 20. And you, Philippians, know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my needs several times. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus, what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Glorious riches given in Christ Jesus. Did you notice that one? He said that not everybody gave, but that church did. And it's a way of being a part and investing in the things of God to get God's word and the gospel out into the world and knowing that we have a part in that. John 20:21 says, Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. You know, I can't help stop from thinking about when I was ordained. So I'm going to show you a picture of when I was ordained that day. And tiny little Baptist church, still had hair, about 175 pounds, but that was one of those humbling times for me. To be knelt down before God, before the church, knowing that they had questioned me, knowing that they evaluated me, knowing that they recognized God's hand working in my life, and they honored that. It's the same thing when we have mission trips to other countries, to Guatemala, or we're supporting missionaries, or home missionaries, or whatever. We need to remember that there's an unction, if you will, that old term, unction, or anointing of God on that which he commissions. And he does that through the church. When the church recognizes God's hand and authority and purpose and plan in an individual or individual lives, and they pray for them, lay hands on them, and they give that support to them, they're enabling with authority to go out into the world and represent in that manner the Lord Jesus Christ, which spreads the gospel work, which spreads the ministry. In Acts 8:14, it says, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had welcomed God's message, they sent Peter and John to them. Acts 11:22, Then the report about them was heard by the church that was at Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to travel as far as Antioch. Acts 15:22. Then the apostles and the elders with the whole church decided to select men who were among them and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Judas called Barsabbas and Silas, both leading men among the brothers. Do you get the sense of the involvement of the church in mission work? Do you get the sense of the purpose of the unity of churches and Christians working together to do God's kingdom work? Do you get the sense of how God set it up to explode God's kingdom work, to expand it into the world in which we live? I do. And it's a wonderful thing to be a part of. Sometimes we can be here and we get, as a church, we can get so spiritually tunnel vision, if you will, bad way to put it. We can have a spiritual tunnel vision. Where we are, what we're doing, who we are, how we look, all this stuff, and there we are right there. But if we are willing to be part of God's kingdom work as God calls each of us individually, I was sharing with one of our brothers in church last week how wonderful it would be if everybody was on fire for Jesus. If we have 50 people and all 50 people were on fire for Jesus and they were just passionate about the things of God, passionate about the Word of God, passionate about being about the work of God, passionate about reaching people, passionate, 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 passionate for God. How much work would be done for God's glory, even in a little tiny church? Wow! And I think we grow content with having one or two passionate, fiery, hot coals in the church. And we ought to be all on fire for God. And let me say this, even though that sounds idealistic, we might even be thinking, well, that doesn't seem like a realistic thing. God has called each one of us to keep our heart in check with Him, to not let the fire of our love for Jesus to grow cold, to not let the coals grow dusty with ash, but to keep the ash off the coals so the ember will grow and burn bright. That's our responsibility. Remember that year at the barbecue grill? Keep yourself on fire for God. We brought it into the church, you know, and almost choked everybody out with lighter fluid smell and the whole world, all that. But the thing is that we have a responsibility to keep ourselves inflamed, if you will, on fire, if you will, passionate for God. And if we lose that, it's our own fault. If we lose that, we're held accountable for ourselves before God. If we lose that, we miss the mark that God has for us. But if we focus on that, if we focus on our own relationship to be passionate for God, dusting off anything that needs to be dusted off that's inhibiting my relationship with Christ from being what it ought to be, and being intently close to Jesus, you and I will see God work in our life in ways that we didn't know, beyond whatever we ask or think. 2 Corinthians 8:19 says, and not only that, but He was also appointed by the churches to accompany us with this gift that is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord Himself and to show our eagerness to help. Supporting missions, supporting missionaries, supporting individuals, supporting areas that will encourage the gospel to go out is biblical and joyful. In 2 Corinthians 8:23-24, it says, as for Titus, he is my partner and co-worker serving you. As for our brothers, they are the messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. Therefore, show them proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you. Again, do you see that the heart of the church finding joy and being a part of supporting others to do God's kingdom work? You know, I told the Lord when I was preparing this message, I said, Lord, I don't want this message to be the annual propaganda for CMO, you know, for California Mission Giving. But I want this message to be a message that really does penetrate your heart and mind. Mine. That we will be exactly what God has called us to be, and that myself, like you, is a daily endeavor to keep close to Jesus. Thirdly, together we can spread the gospel to everyone, everywhere. I was talking about not knowing how God will work in your life. When I was in high school, I was the president of the Spanish Society Club. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'd love to learn multiple languages. You know, God does not forget our heart's desires, even at a young age. And so as I've dabbled in different languages and things like that, one day I was on my computer and I was either talking to Emilio or Manuel or someone else from our mission trip into Guatemala. And I'm up there, I'm in my office, and I'm typing away in Spanish. And I go, and God says, do you remember what you asked me? Oh, yeah. Oh, the light bulb went on. Thank you, Lord. And it's for his kingdom work. It wasn't just so that I could say, you know, hey, I'm going to speak this language or that language. It was for his kingdom work. God knows our heart's desires. And God will give us our heart's desires as we delight in him. Psalm 37:4, one of my favorite verses. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desire of your heart. To delight in the Lord is to take pleasure in him. Pleasure in doing what he's called us to do. Pleasure in our relationship with him. Pleasure in the fulfillment of being in step with Jesus. Pleasure in giving our life to him and not hoarding it for ourselves. And when we do that, God will give us our heart's desires. Acts 20:24 says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. In my mind's eye, I try to distinguish this, and I don't know if I can correlate this clearly, but I think a lot of people think, well, that's for the one that's running in the ministry that's called full time. They're focused, I'm going to be faithful in ministry. I'm going to be faithful as a pastor. I'm going to be faithful to carry on and do what God wants me to do because I'm expected to do that. But if you and I are faithful in our own lives, in our own walk, on a daily basis in obedience to Christ. Now, I know that we're all going to stumble and fall, all going to have sin issues, all going to have weak areas, blah, blah, blah. But I also know that we can learn to walk with Jesus because we want to walk with him. And let us not ever kid ourselves. We are never, ever to get to a place where we say, I am mature enough that I will not stop walking with Jesus. Because we can all fall flat on our face at any moment if we are not willing to keep ourselves guarded against such things. What is your life's worth? What is our life worth? I don't mean what is it worth by what we're doing, but I'm saying, is our life doing the things of God? It's not restricted to the minister. It's restricted to the believer, the overcomer, if you will, of the challenges of this world. 2 Corinthians 8:23-24 says, did I read that already? Yes, I did. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. We are all judged for good and evil. I don't know about you, but I'm not real comfortable with that. We're all going to stand before God individually, before the host of all people. And he's going to open the books and he's going to judge our life and he's going to say, I gave you my son, you received my son, what did you do with your life for me? But I'm glad God is merciful, forgiving, and kind. But don't rest in that. Be instead what God has called us to be. Romans 10, 13 through 15 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So many people are just content with that. Man, I got my eternal security life certificate in my hip pocket. I have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I can go and do as I please. It's not what God wants. You know the sad thing about that? We will spin our wheels in nothingness if we as a believer are not following Jesus. We will find ourselves pursuing everything we can to satisfy ourselves, and we will not find it. But when we die to ourselves and surrender ourselves to Christ and say, "I want to live for you and live the life that you have, quote unquote, called me to live," we will find the life. Scripture says in 1 John 5, chapter 5, I think 10 to 13, it says that if we hold our life, we shall lose it. And hold grip. This is my life. It's mine. It's my territory. I'm okay with my name being written, but it's my life. It's my territory. I'm going to do it my way. And you're going to keep your promise that I'm going to heaven because I received you, but I'm going to live this journey my way. And God says, fine. But you're not going to find the life I created you for. And that excites me. Colossians 3:3, our life, you are dead, and your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. If I die to myself and I live for Christ, I find the life that he created for me before the foundations of the world. I love that. But I want to stand before God at the judgment time. We're not going to be judged for sin. We're going to be judged for how we live for Jesus. How our lives were used and committed for Christ. And I want to stand there, and believe me, there will be those that he will say this to. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, in whom I am well pleased." You would think, who would ever qualify to say, "Well done"? Here, "well done" from God. Oh, Billy Graham, Charles Stanley, whomever. It means us. Every single one of us have that opportunity. Because every one of our situations are unique to ourselves. And how God calls us to walk is uniquely our path. And we're to be faithful to it. Romans 10, 13 through 15. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" That is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news." Every time I read that verse, I think about that time I preached the message on that. And I took my shoes and socks off and pulled out my hobbit feet and preached. And I thought, you know, God looks at my feet or your feet. You look at your feet. And you think, because we're walking with Jesus, being a representative of Christ, sharing our relationship that we have with God ourselves, with others, which entails sharing the gospel as God opens the door, God looks at your feet and my feet as being beautiful. What a trip. If you don't mind the expression. So together we can support those who are sacrificially serving the Lord. We saw in the video, didn't we, how different people are being supported. Together we can send people who are willing to serve. That's part of the plan to explode the church out into the world. Together we can share the gospel with everyone everywhere. That's our passion, your passion, my passion, that's maintained in Christ. Together we can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Adding on to that, making a point in the things that God has called each of us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for each one here. Thank you for the inclusion of the body of believers in your kingdom work. From the least to whatever range, however we perceive ourselves to be, Father, each one of us is called uniquely in your kingdom work. And that kingdom work is not just restricted to First Southern Baptist Church of Kalinga and its own little needs, but it is that we each are part of the body of Christ, bearing the light of Christ in a world of darkness. And Father, as the world gets darker, help us to be willing to let the light shine, that you might be seen. Father, if there's someone here today that has not received Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would come forward and say, I want to make sure that I'm saved, and I want to receive Christ. If there's someone today that says, you know what, I've been reaching for everything that I can reach for, and everything's hitting a block wall, I think God is telling me to turn to him, then I want you to come up and talk to me and let me pray with you to help you give yourself over to the Lord. I pray, Father, that you may be working on someone's heart in this room to be a missionary, to devote their lives to the career of ministry. And I pray, Father, please, that you would confirm that as well, if you're doing that. Bless your word. Bless the fellowship that we have today. And bless the invitation to your glory for your purpose in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com. And tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.